All right, so go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs 4, and we're going to look today at a New Year's Eve lesson, and I think you're going to find it quite interesting, and the title of the lesson that we're working on is Writing Your Story, and so we're going to look at several things in our walk with God. So we'll get into it a little bit more. All right. And John Eldridge's book called Epic, he talks about how life doesn't come like a math problem. He said you can't solve it like an equation in which you plug or write in numbers and get the right answer. Instead, he says we should look at life as a story. Waking up each day is like turning the page in the story of our life. We don't know what characters will make an appearance or what will happen or how the plot will thicken. We don't know over a year's time how a chapter will end, whether it be dramatic or funny or calamity. We just have to live our life out one day at a time and be ready for the story to unfold. Fortunately, he said, regardless of how our story turns out on any given day, month, or year, we can read ahead and we can see how the story of our life turns out in the end. We were born into a story that God is telling in the most dramatic story in history, an epic, God-like proportions. We have a part to play in God's story of the ages, and it's our calling to find our part and play our part to the fullest in our story. And, you know, as we look at our life and we look at the story of our life, and we look at things that happen all the time, we constantly do inputs to our story. So I was talking to somebody the other day and they asked me, they were talking about, says, did you ever think back to a decision you made and wished you had made another decision? I said, well, how much time you got? You know, like really, I mean, we can sit here and talk about this for a while, but we do have inputs to our story. Right. And those inputs, although when they're input, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, As we make these mistakes in our life or we make these right decisions, we sometimes regret them. We sometimes are happy about them. Sometimes go, you know, oh, hey, you know, I'm glad I made that decision a long time ago. I was laughing one time when somebody had showed a piece of paper and we were talking about Amazon. This was years ago. I'm like, well, why would anybody want to order stuff online when they can go to Walmart and buy? Yeah. Bad decision. You know, I was reading the two most profitable stocks you could have was Amazon. What the other one was?
Apple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Google was right in it, but number one, number two was Amazon. And they said that when they hired people originally at Amazon, they were hiring people with an empty warehouse. They didn't have a warehouse when they started, and they couldn't find people. They couldn't find people to work because they were trying to convince them to come work for this, you know, when they really wasn't selling anything like that. So the idea was they would start giving away stock. So they gave away this massive amounts of stock to these people when the stock was worth like a dollar. Well, leads us to say those people are millionaires now, right? So these things go through our minds in the days, and we realize that we finish one chapter and we're on to a new chapter, and it's God's story, really of kind of good and evil in our lives. One guy wrote, he said, in recent years, we've seen the struggles of good against evil played out on our television screens almost every night. Hard to go through a day without reminded that evil is a very real presence and very much a part of God's epic story. Even here in the United States, our population is divided basically down the middle in opposing political views. Everywhere we look, there are forces battling with one another for control over power and influence. So the Bible uses a lot of metaphors to talk about our life and talk about the different ways. Paul calls it, one time he calls it a race. Another place he talks about the warfare on life. Philippians 2:15, Paul says, every story is a story of good and evil that can be thought of as light and darkness. So there's a lot of different ways. And there's not a single way that the Bible keeps referring to this. So we're going to look in Proverbs. And in Proverbs, it talks about the story. So we're going to go off of a story. And the you know, if you look at your life from day one to today, and it's really a journey. So we've been on a journey since the day we were born, and that journey will end the day we were guided, the day we get called home to heaven, right? Or the day that Jesus returns. And that story will end on earth. But that's not the end of the story, is it? And you know, a lot of people, when you talk about the journeys and you hear people talking about the things they do in their life, their story stops at death. And that's not what the Bible says, right? Is it? That's not when it stops. That's when it starts.
I was gonna say, that's when it's supposed to start for.
All right, so we're going to look at this. So let's turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4, and we're going to read verse 18 and 19. But the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. David Jeremiah wrote, and he says, how many of you know that when you're reading the Bible, if you've already discovered something in the Bible you're sensitive to, all of a sudden you start seeing it in every chapter on every page. So you think about the journey and you read in the Bible what's in your mind, you're going to find this journey illustrated everywhere. And you can. And I actually looked at some passages in Psalms and Proverbs, and there's some more in other parts of Proverbs, and it goes on and on and on. And there's, you know, in the New Testament, one of the writers said, in the New Testament, we're told there's a broad way and a narrow way. The broad way seems like the right way because so many people are on the broad way, right? The Bible tells us if you get on the broad road, it will take you in the wrong direction, though, right? The destination of the broad road leads to destruction and death. The Bible goes on to say there's a narrow way, and the narrow way leads to life, where you end up on your journey that you take. One guy wrote, he says, if you get on the broad road, you're going to go to destruction. If you get on the narrow road, you'll end up in life. And he said, there's something exciting about the Christmas journey. He says, new glimpses of God's provisions are available. And we've seen many of them during these last few days. We've heard stories of how God has helped you along the journey when you didn't expect it to happen. But we can be assured on this journey, nothing happens to us that's unknown to God. And the Bible says everything is sifted through his hands. And he knows the journey. Sinclair Ferguson, a preacher, used to end every sermon he said, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? So that was his last words in every time. Ended every sermon that way. He said, I wonder if you feel that way. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? He said, I can't imagine not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that ultimately God is there and he's going to help us through the rough parts of the journey. So we're going to talk about the journey today. So I'm going to ask you this. So if you get ready to go somewhere and wherever it is you're going to go, point A or point B, if you don't know the way there, what's the number one thing that everybody uses now?
GPS.
Google. Yeah. Google Maps. Everybody uses those. So let's say that you're going to go to the Grand Ole Opry. So what town is the Grand Ole Opry in?
Nashville.
If you put Nashville in here, what are you going to get?
You're going to get 20 Nashvilles.
And you're not going to get to the Grand Ole Opry, right? And you have to have a specific address to get through it, right? So I'll ask you, as we're looking through this journey, and if we're going on this journey to the Grand Ole Opry and we're taking these roads to get on this journey, you know, if we're just saying Nashville, we can end up all over the place and not where we want to go. And it's going to make it difficult to get where we want to go. So I'll ask you in your journey, do you have a specific address?
Yeah, heaven.
Everybody has heaven, right?
Yeah.
That's your specific address. With that specific address, does that have an effect on your journey?
Should.
Yeah. Should, right? Should. Bear in mind there for a few minutes. So let's look at a few things about this journey, as we go through. So back to the title of it. So we're looking at a journey, but just remember, as we go through this journey, every time we have a path that takes us somewhere, that's writing our story. So this is the story that we're going to have, and we're writing this story. And sometimes we write the story before we do something, and sometimes we write it after we do something, right? Keep that in mind for a minute. First of all, your journey has a definite beginning. Every journey starts somewhere. They don't just happen. You don't just show up one day and you're on a road. You get on that road, you have a ramp to that road, and our journey towards God begins when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. One guy wrote, and he says, until you know Jesus Christ, you're not on a journey towards heaven. But when you accept Christ, you begin to walk on a path that's illuminated by the light of his presence. And that journey begins with one thing. That's the conviction of sin. You know, and this is interesting because if you think about this, why are you a Christian today? Because David Jeremiah says something I always remember. God has no grandchildren. You ever hear grandchildren mentioned in the Bible? And what he's saying when he says that is, each and every one of us has to take steps to becoming a child of God. You know, that don't mean because your daddy was a preacher that you're going to be a child of God. That doesn't mean because, you know, your brother is a deacon. That don't mean you're a child of God. It's each individual person has to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Now, there's a lot of people I know over the years. I've talked to a lot of people that think just automatically because you were born, you're a child of God. Because God created you, you're automatically a child of God. They don't realize that you got to be adopted by Him into the family.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's something that I've heard, and I still hear quite a bit that, you know, when you ask people, you're a child of God. Yeah, I'm born. I'm here. Yeah, I'm a child of God. He cared enough to bring me into this world and create me. Yes, I'm a child of God. And yeah, people don't get that. And I think it's because a lot of things that people heard are misleading to them like that. Because, you know, when you say God created everything, yes, He did create everything. He created us. But it does not matter.
He created the devil. He created Satan too.
That's right. Yeah.
People say they're a Christian because they believe in God, but they don't necessarily have a relationship with God. So, you know, it, child of God, Christian, you know, you, what's your definition?
Yeah.
Is a newborn baby a child of God?
Yeah, because he doesn't know. Okay. He's not at the accountable stage of, yeah.
Of life, yeah. Yes.
Of sin.
I agree with that.
Well, you know that Bible verse, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or sinned begging for bread. This got to me thinking, you hear this stuff about generational curses, and generational blessings. If your family was established and with ministers and missionaries, did that blessing come, you think that blessing could come down to you? But if your family were evil people, murderers, rapists, or whatever, could that affect you? I mean, I don't know.
There's a verse in there, too, that says, to stay down fathers of so many generations, too. In the Old Testament, it says that, but not in the New Testament.
From my personal feeling, I don't think God will hold against me what my brother or my daddy did.
No, I don't either.
I just don't believe that. I can't get anything in the Bible that says He would hold that against me.
Because we're all accountable. Yeah, you're not accountable for your brother. Now, you're accountable for telling your brother about Jesus Christ, but you're not accountable for telling your brother what to do or watch over him to make sure that he does that, you know.
Yeah.
Something else that Dom just said, it's coming on that. One thing we hear a lot is people believe in God, but they don't know Jesus Christ. And that's something that you know, you can tell people when you're talking to people and they don't mention Jesus in there, you know that they haven't been subject to the Bible or know, you know, scripture about the only way to get to the Father is through the Son. And that's what Don said. That's misleading too. People say Christians because they believe in God and they worship God, but did you accept Jesus Christ? And that's where people.
Big difference.
Yeah, that's where people get off too.
Billy Graham said one time, he said, do you know there's no way, it said, for all of sin fell short of God. He said, do you know there's no exception to that statement? He said, nobody's ever going to show up one day and go, oh, no, I haven't sinned. He said, I've had people tell me they don't sin. They make mistakes. He said, but I said, no, that doesn't work. He said, you have to understand that your journey towards God begins when you acknowledge that you're a sinner. John 3:16 says, and this is condemnation, that the light has come into this world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. And, you know, that's kind of what happens when we start our journey. One day you walk along and everything's doing good and you're kind of doing everything that Satan says and things are going on. And then what happens? You know, he says, all of a sudden you realize you're not in sync with God and things aren't right. And he said, you know that because what you're doing, the things you're experiencing and thoughts you're having. And he says, that's what we call conviction. The Bible tells us the Spirit of God has come to this world to convict us of sin, and that what happens. One guy wrote, and he said, when you become a Christian, the Bible says God gives you a special gift. It's called the Holy Spirit. He said, did you know the first name of the Holy Spirit is holy? And when it becomes to live within your heart, it begins to develop within you a sensitivity to life that's based upon righteousness and not sinfulness. He said, you become sensitive to things you never were sensitive to before. And that is very, very true. I mean, that's just, and it's, I think it's a fact, and it's just, that's the way the Holy Spirit works, right? He said, the Bible says along this way, you meet a compassionate Savior who came in this world to be the light and show you the way. He said, your conviction of sin, your compassion from a Savior, you meet the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I'm the light of the world. One guy wrote, he said, I met a young woman several months ago coming off of a life the street in our area. She'd been living on drugs in the street for 3 years and just couldn't get free. So then someone told her about Jesus and her life changed. In an amazing way, she went from darkness to light almost overnight. Her family hardly recognized her when they first saw her after recovery. This is what she said. She says, nobody really understands what Jesus can do. She says, I am what Jesus can do. That's a powerful statement.
Yep.
That's a very powerful statement. Right. So I want to ask you something today. As you face these next months in this coming year, are you going into the year with Jesus in your life? And I'm not talking about accepting Jesus. I'm talking about on this journey going along. And he said, one guy wrote and he says, if you're not, you really understand the journey on you right now may take you very far in the direction you don't want to go if you're not in a defective area. Then our journey talks about taking us to difficult places. It says, how many of you know that that becoming a Christian doesn't guarantee you to make all the right decisions and be on a road that leads to happiness every single day? Amen, right?
A lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people think that all their troubles and that thing is going to go away from them, and whenever they step and it doesn't go that way, that's when they falter lots and lose faith.
Yeah, so Proverbs says this. Proverbs says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. That's what those are outside of Christ. But how many of you know the way of righteousness can also be like that? After you become a Christian, your problems don't just get solved altogether. In fact, most people say that they seem to remember to some degree that when you become a Christian, you get a few problems you didn't have before.
That's right.
You know, he says, if you never had an argument with the devil before you got saved, he said you did just what he wanted, but now you know better. You got the Holy Spirit living with you. And he says, an argument with the devil never stops.
He wants you back.
Never stops. It's an internal struggle. David Jeremiah says, I always tell people that when you get saved, you don't lose your old nature. Some people think, oh, well, I got saved. I got a new nature. Now I don't have the old one. And he said, oh, yes, you do. He said, you have an old nature. So if you don't believe that, ask your wife or your husband. They'll tell you. He says, but you have a new nature. In the past, you couldn't do anything but follow the enemy. Now you have a new nature that enables you to follow God. And when you choose to follow God, you walk in a new path. And your journey takes a different direction. He said, that seems like an easy choice. The wisdom and literature of old statement advise us to take the path of the light, but beware. Proverbs 4:11 says, I have taught you in a way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, when you run, you will not stumble. Psalms 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. And you know, I think a lot of people, criticizing of Christians, they will make light of problems in your life. You got problems in your life. You know, why? I thought you were a Christian. Why didn't God just take all those away from you? It's just not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. So let's look at what it does say. The journey gives you a definite purpose. Verse 18, the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines brighter into the perfect day. If you're on a path, and one guy wrote, I was reading one, and I can't remember the exact quote. He said, but if you go through the Bible and you look at the references to the shining sun, it always talks about the morning sun. Have you ever noticed that? It never talks about the evening sun. And he said, do you know why that is? He said, on your path, the morning sun gets brighter and brighter and brighter, versus the evening sun gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And he said, if you look at your journey as that path getting brighter and brighter and brighter as you follow God, then you're on the right path. Even though you're going to stumble, it's no doubt you're going to stumble. The longer I walk with the Lord on this path, I should be becoming in some ways more like Him. I should be growing in my faith. If you can walk a path towards heaven with Christ as your companion and not grow in faith, something is wrong. So I want to ask you, as you look at your life, have you made some progress this year?
We just started.
Okay? Past year.
Yeah.
I had to stop and think about that. Have you learned some things about the Lord you didn't know? Have you made some decisions about your own life that you didn't expect to have to make? We find it difficult to maintain a commitment to this world and the next, and yet that's what we have to do. I mean, and that's true, right? We're living in this world on this journey, and we're heading towards heaven, which is our goal. Now, let me tell you something that might surprise you. It did me. It says, there's a whole lot more in the Bible about the journey than there is the destination. So if you go through the Bible and you look for scripture about heaven, you're not going to find a whole lot. Outside the part in Revelations where John gives the vision.
It's true.
There ain't a whole lot.
I wonder about that a lot of times too, why that is, to maybe encourage or something, you know, more so, but it's, you're right, it's not.
Yeah. Said, Jeremiah says, there's a whole lot more in the Bible about the journey than there is about the destination. He said, we like to think, oh, we're going to heaven. The Bible's filled with stuff about heaven, when it's really not. There's not a lot of information about that. He says, but there's an awful lot in the Bible about the journey. And sometimes if we're not careful, we get caught up with the destination and we don't know what to do on the journey. He said, I had a quotation from an author who said there were two thresholds in the Christian life. One of the thresholds is when you get saved, and the other threshold is when you go to heaven. Right? He said, the problem is most Christians have no idea what to do in between the two. They get saved, they know they're going to heaven, but they don't understand what to do in between. It's not because there isn't any information in the Bible, right? You got plenty to tell you. One guy wrote this, and this was a pastor wrote this. He says, until you get to heaven, you got to live on this earth. Until you arrive at the door of heaven, you got to figure out how to live on this earth. And you say, well, how do I do that? He said, the Bible is full of that. He said, this is interesting. He said, the first epistles, the New Testament, they're half application, the first half is application, every one of them. He said, then you read the first three chapters and you find that's where you find the doctrine. read the next three chapters, and it's about how to take that doctrine and put it in practical life. If we learn anything as we go through this year, learn this. If you want to understand how to walk on a journey to heaven, there's one place you can get all the information that you want about your journey, and that is the Bible. And if you learn to look for it along the way, you'll find it in all kinds of principles that'll help you negotiate the journey. Number four, the next one said, our journey is a developing experience. And here's where we get in this writing our story. All right. The Bible says that we shine ever brighter. And that's what, like that morning sun growing. You know, one scholar should put it this way, the righteous of the light of the morning that keeps on increasing. What he's talking about is it gets brighter. He says you're getting brighter and brighter as you trust the Lord to help you on your journey. And David Jeremiah had a really good quote, and this is what he talked about being in seminary. And he says, I love to meet old saints who have been walking with Jesus. He said, after spending time with the Lord on a personal level, I remember as a seminary student, we had some of those guys who taught us. He said, some of them, he said, I don't mean this in a negative way, were holy, very holy. He said, I didn't feel worthy sometimes to be sitting in a class with them. He said, these guys had studied the word of God. They had learned Hebrew and Greek to understand the old language. He said, they spent their life immersed in the scripture. He said, I often thought, I hope I can grow old like that. And I hope that my life is reflective as I get older. He said, you know, the last thing you want to be is a grumpy old person. The last thing you want to find is somebody who doesn't reflect Jesus. He said, I've known people like that. He said, have you ever known somebody like that? He said, they were thought they were great Christians, and they got old and started having some age issues, and they turned out to be not a very nice person. He said, we should pray to God will help us go through this journey. He said, according to Proverbs, we should be shining brighter and brighter as the day goes on. We should be growing in Christ and becoming more like him. He said, other people, there won't be any adjustment at all. He says, these people live their life. And he says, when they go into heaven, there's no adjustment. They because they've been living a Christian life. He said, there's some people going to get a real shock. And he said, I don't take that. He said, I don't mean that lightly. He said, these a lot of people who were saved and then just sat down and done nothing. He said, just waiting on the day to go to heaven. He said, that's a shock to some people. So now then we've talked about the four principles on this journey and toward our destination. And according to the book of Proverbs, when you walk into a new year, if you're a Christian, you may go through the whole year and you're still walking on the path. Some of us in this room may not be here next year. It's just the facts of life, right? They may be in heaven. What does the Bible say about going to heaven? They call it, the Bible calls it the perfect day. And one guy wrote and he said, have you ever sat down at night and talking to your spouse or somebody, you know, and goes, this was a perfect day. Yeah, we've all done that, right?
I don't know if I ever
did that. Marty goes,
I might have said a good day. I don't think I've ever had a perfect day. I might have a good day.
This guy's writing. He said, there's no such thing as a perfect day on earth. He said, but one day when we get to the end of our journey and we step out of this life in the presence of the Lord, that's the perfect day. He said, if you're a Christian, you're on a journey towards that perfect day, and one day you'll arrive. Proverbs 14:12 says, this is the way that seems right unto man, but the end is the way of death. Said one guy, wrote, he said, do you know a lot of people think they're on the right road? They don't know that there's a path that they should be on that they're not on. Isn't it true what some people think? They say, well, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. What matters is what you believe. Well, you can say, okay, I'm going to Detroit. I was talking about going to Nashville a while ago. And he said, but you're on a road to go to San Francisco. But you're saying in your heart, well, I believe I'm going to Detroit. Well, if I tell you this, I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to end up in San Francisco no matter what you believe. So, you know, the Bible says there's a lot of ways that people think they're on the right road, but they're not on the right road. Someone wrote this one time many years ago, and I had read this. Billy Graham said he had it in his Bible, and he says, life is a story in volumes three, the past, the present, and the yet to be. The first is finished and laid away. The second we're reading day by day. The third and last are volume three, locked away in sight in eternity. I thought that was pretty good. You know, one of the things I was reading this, and this came up several times, and I kind of put it in a condensed area here, and it says, what we've lived in our life already, we can't undo. We all know that, right? I mean, you don't get redos. You remember as a kid, you know, like redo, have a redo on something. You may look back on a year and say, well, I haven't been walking the right path that I should have been. But no matter how hard we want to, bad decisions, you can't pray them away. Trust me, I know that as much as anybody. You can't pray them away. You can be forgiven, but your bad decisions don't go away. They're just there.
Yeah, but that's that. Bad decisions are learning experiences.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. Past is over. If you've done things you shouldn't have done, get them right with God. Forget about it and get on with your life. But you can live your life today. This is volume two. You're on that journey. And ultimately, one day you'll be in heaven, assuming you're a Christian, writing, but you're on the journey. And ultimately, one day you'll be in heaven as a Christian. We're writing our story each and every day. We're walking in this journey each and every day. And if we walk with the Lord, not only will the ultimate destination be the perfect day, but every day we walk with him is on the right way. One guy was writing a lot about a study of Proverbs. This is what he wrote. He said, what I've learned from the study on Proverbs is just not the welcome home that counts. It's the long trip too. The journey is worth taking. The journey is a wonderful place to spend your life on earth. The Bible says we're pilgrims and strangers. We don't belong to this earth. It's not our home. We're just passing through, and let the journey be a delightful one. Don't complain about the struggles. Rejoice in the privilege you have for walking with the Lord through these days of uncertainty and knowing you have one up on everybody who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the Creator God living with you. He knows the way. He won't let you get lost. He will stay with you all the way to the end. Amen. And you know, I was reading this last part about that, about Proverbs, and there's a lot of things in Proverbs about, you know, you're letting your life go. And you know, Paul talked about that. And Paul says, what's done is done. You've asked for forgiveness and let that go and live for today. And that's kind of hard to do, is, you know, because we want to go back on our story and we want to thumb pages back and read what's written in the past. And memories are fine and everything's fine. But, you know, the one thing that we really need to focus on as Christians today is our walk with God and our journey. And one of the things I want to do this, I want to close out, assuming I'm still here at the end of 2022. I'd like to look back and go, you know, I've done some things this year that it was good in my walk with God.
I think that scripture says some will strive for the faith of the God. Strive for it.
I agree. Yes, totally agree.